Deuteronomy chapter 6. These are the commands, decrees, and laws the Lord your God directed me to teach you, to observe in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to possess, so that you, your children, and their children after them may fear the Lord your God as long as you live by keeping all his decrees and commands that I give you, and so that you may enjoy long life. Hear, O Israel, and be careful to obey so that it may go well with you and that you may increase greatly in a land flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord, the God of your fathers, promised you. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates.
I don't know about you, but I sometimes rush into things. Often, we'll have the sermon and then want a bit of quiet and wait. But I was reminded not to rush into things the other day. I've had a beard trim. And it wasn't by design. Because I got my clippers and it was a bit low on charge. So I put them down, charged them up. And a little while later, I went and I picked it up and started to trim my beard. What I didn't do was take the time to check what gauge it was on. So, for the first time in a long time, I had a goatee beard. You see, sometimes we just grab and go for what's normal. For me, it cost me a few days of extra growth. But sometimes we just dash in, and we want to just pause. So, before we think about the message of Deuteronomy to us today, I want to just rest in what God's already doing. So let's just be quiet for a moment. Lord, would you speak to us? Lord, before another word is said, would you reveal your word to us? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Let's think about Deuteronomy chapter 6. The first three verses of chapter 6, if we could have the slide, please. The first three verses of chapter 6 set out the context and the reason for the instructions that follow it. It's almost like Moses' pep talk, in which he says that the words which follow are from God. They're for the life in the new land, and they're for generations to come, and so should be taught parent to child. If you can just pop it on my laptop, please, Jeanette. Thanks. Or has it disappeared? Anyway, they're also to encourage obedience to God. Obedience will reap reward, long life, and increased population, just as God has promised. So that's verses 1 to 3. We're a third of the way through the sermon. However, the next six verses might take a little longer. What about the original meaning? Well, working through the text verse by verse, verse 4 says that Yahweh God is worthy. Verse 5 says the people are to love the Lord. Love is a function of will and intention. Attraction and emotion are the results of love. But because love can be willed, it can be commanded, but not coerced. His people are to love God with their whole being. Heart, soul, and strength encompass the intellect, the will, the emotions, spirituality, and the physical body. It covers everything that a person is and everything that a person can do for God. And this is the key of the covenant with Israel. Verses 4 and 5 were the fundamental underpinning text of the Jewish faith, in the way that John 3:16 is for the Christian. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one, or the Lord is our God, the Lord alone. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. Verse 6 says that it's really important that you commit yourself to the commands God is giving, to keep the human side of the covenant. Verse 7, by teaching and repeating and teaching the commandments again, their words and the meaning will not be forgotten. An oral society where the words are passed down by speaking and hearing. And this was a common way of instructing children. And the Hebrew verb suggests that it's about engraving text in a material that cannot be removed. By talking about the commands and laws at every opportunity, in all times and places, and discussing them with children, they will not just learn the words, but learn the meaning of the words as well. In verse 8, we hear that the words are to be tied or worn, tie them and wear them. They were terms which meant binding and adopting the principles to the hands, practical activity, to the head, thinking and intellect, so that all that is done and all that is thought may be bound up in the principles of God's covenant with his people, and constantly remind them of that covenant. In time, this will be taken literally by wrapping cords representing the Torah around the forearm. And when small boxes containing verses from the Torah would be attached with cords to the arms and the head, a practice continued to this day. In verse 9, the writing of the laws in everyday places was intended to be a constant reminder of that covenant with God. Gates and doorposts were significant because you passed through them. They were portals through which people would go about their everyday business when going out the house. It would be a reminder of the authority of God as the person engaged with the community. When returning home, it would be a reminder of the rule of God in the family. When going out of the city, it would be a reminder of God's law as the person went into the wider world. And as they returned home, it would be a reminder of coming home to a place where Yahweh God was honored. By being in places that were passed all the time, the writing was a constant reminder. In time, texts would be placed in the small metal boxes called mezuzah and pinned to the doorpost. And it became customary to touch it as you passed through to show respect for and dependence on the scripture. The doorposts, again, were significant because they were also used in the act of deliverance in Egypt when they were daubed with the blood of the Lamb and the angel of death passed over the houses of the Israelites. You see, by following these instructions, the Israelites would put scriptures and the covenant with God in the midst of everyday life as a constant reminder. A reminder so that they would act in accordance with its teaching and requirements, making the family the center of religious teaching. From the instructions given here, it would be really easy to make a daily routine with specific acts and responses. And it could become very easy to make everyday activities very ritualistic, even legalistic, which of course is what happened. And the overprescribed lifestyle and teaching of the Pharisees was seen very clearly in the New Testament of Jesus' day. It became corporate ritual, not personal relationship. Is this laptop died completely? Okay. Do you want to see if you can plug it straight into the back and we'll just use it for that? The end pairs, is that all right? Thank you. Mute the channel, please. Do you want to take it to the back and see? There's some VJs there. If you want to take that back, there's some VJs in there if you need it. My dad never had this trouble with his fuzzy felt, I tell you. Do you remember that, Jeremy? Yes. Anyway, see if we can sort that out for something later. So that's what the teaching of Deuteronomy meant to the people who heard it first. And that's what the people of Israel tried to adhere to with ebbs and flows over history right until the arrival of Jesus. And in fact, in the Jewish faith, right until this very day. But what does it mean for us as Christians in the here and now? Well, I think that the teaching can be summarized, brought into our 21st century context with the help of five headings. Heading one. Our God is the only one worthy of our love. The Israelites were in relationship with God because he created them. And they were his chosen people. He was their way of salvation, literally because he brought them out of Egypt, and spiritually, as they kept his commandments and kept their side of the covenant. We are part of the new covenant in Jesus. We find salvation through him. Jesus is the new and living way to come into relationship with God. Only God through Jesus has been able to do this. He is the only one. Love is an act of will. So choose to love God with everything. I'm reminded of a Don Francisco song, for those of you old enough. Love is not a feeling, it's an act of your will. The covenant was established between God and the Israelites, and they could choose not to follow it, which they did frequently and corporately. And we have free will too. For us, the free will's the other way around. We can choose to follow and join, sign up to the new covenant in Jesus. Our side of the covenant is to love him with everything. As Jesus replies, when asked which is the greatest commandment in the law, he quoted Deuteronomy. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This, he says, is the first and greatest commandment. But he added a second commandment from Leviticus as the second most important. Love your neighbor as yourself. So to the hearers, both of these instructions had their roots in their history and in their law. But these are two commandments which still hold for us today. Teach your children well with constant repetition and reminders. I only ever had to be told anything once. As I remember it. Sometimes our children, and having taught a class of 34 children, need to be told and reminded and told again. Learning by rote isn't fashionable, but active repetition in order to get things right is. Our physical bodies do this through muscle memory. That's why kickers in rugby teams practice over and over again, sometimes adopting the strangest of positions so that their muscles respond as expected every time. It's how, with repeated practice, a musician can put their fingers in exactly the right place to achieve a certain chord or note. So repeating the practices of faith is helpful in learning to live in line with our beliefs. Repeating phrases of scripture is helpful too, especially verses which have become meaningful or helpful. They can be encouraging and faith-building and useful when speaking or ministering to others, if we remember them. And the idea of teaching down through the generations is important to us too. We say every time there's a baptism, don't we? We will keep here a place where we will teach, we will love, we will, and all the rest of it. Hold a place where children can grow and be nurtured in the ways of Christ. But for the recording, the screen's just come back on. I haven't just. Yes, we must remember, though, it's not about do as I say, it is about do as I am doing. So this is perhaps how it can be applied. We instruct by talking about our faith and teaching it, and we get involved by demonstrating it and encouraging others to apply what we believe. Let the word of God be in your doing and in your thinking. Having an ongoing, active relationship with God is helped by his written word. Paul gives the advice, let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. In God's word, we have everything we need if we apply it, because it leads into relationship with God, relationship with Jesus, and into relationship with the Holy Spirit. Because all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And as we apply the principles of Christ in daily living, being gracious and honest and just is a start by trying to apply those greatest two commandments to love God and to love our neighbour. And lastly, we can place reminders in everyday places. We can do this in many ways. From wall plaques and posters, to pens, notepads, mugs, egg cups, stickers on the back of your car that say Jesus loves you as you cut somebody up at a roundabout. We can even place the word of God on our skin. Hebrew tattoos, verses of scripture are quite prominent these days. People who have tattoos. We can do it in many ways. But we must take notice and think about it, giving thanks to God for his word to us, to understand what's behind the verse. What is it actually saying? Because it can be dangerous just to concentrate on a short verse without knowing what it really means. But the greatest reminder in the everyday is the way that we live out our lives as a testimony to God's goodness. Now, all of that is background from Deuteronomy. It's principles that we can apply. And I know that so far, it's very much about what we can think about. But of course, when God comes and speaks to us, we need to bring it from here, to the heart. What is God actually saying to us? I think we need to keep going. Yeah. The text is really about relationship with God, the importance of Scripture, and learning together to be equipped to live out the principles of God's kingdom. These things are as important now as they ever were when Moses was first teaching these things. They're as important now through Jesus as they were in the old covenant through the law. What is vital about us, about this, is the relationship, not the ritual. The ritual might help us focus on God in our efforts to build relationships with him, but could become inward-looking as part of our church community. We do that here to get closer to God. If we love God with our whole being, heart, soul, strength, intellect, will, emotions, our spirituality and our physical body, remember it covers everything that a person is and everything that a person can do for God. And it is the key to our side of the relationship with God. A relationship which compels us to extend that knowledge of God to all. If you love someone as you love yourself, you will want them to have a relationship with God. A relationship which is continually transforming you. A relationship which is in the midst of every day that permeates our day and the people we come in contact with. So we're not teaching about keeping the law, keeping the rules, keeping the old covenant. We're teaching about keeping in relationship with Jesus, who came to fulfill the law. Remember the three themes of Deuteronomy. Remember you were once slaves. Remember God's love. Remember to do, to keep faith and obey. What about the three things for us? Firstly, remember you were once slaves. The Bible tells us we've been a slave to sin. We've been dead in our sin. We were once slaves to that. Many of us may still be slaves to other things. That's why we frequently come with confession, because we get tied up by the things that we've done wrong. It's why we frequently pray for healing in all sorts of ways. Because sometimes we can identify that we're still slaves. But before Jesus, we were all slaves to sin with no hope. Next, remember God's love. How much do you love me? All the way to Hognett and back. All the way to Shrewsbury. All the way to the moon and back. How much does God love us? I'm standing deliberately here. About this much. About this much. Remember God's love. Next. Remember to do. We have to do our relationship with God. It's not a passive thing. It's an active thing. We're not in relationship with God because we've signed up. We're not in relationship with God because we're on a list somewhere. We're in relationship with God because we are in love with God. And he's active in us, and we need to be in active relationship with him. Remember to do relationship with others. Confession to make. Now, we had a plumber around this week. And it turned out that he came to the youth clubs years ago. And he remembered me and Kev. And we got chatting. Don't know why I'm telling you this. We got chatting. And it turns out this plumber remembers us, church youth club. He starts to open up about what's going on in his life. It's not for me to tell you what it is. Do you know what? When I had a good chat with him and all the rest of it, you know, nice. And he drove off, and I thought, you plonker. Him, me, not him. I knew I should have said, well, you know, it was a church youth club. I'm a Christian. I can pray for that. I'm in relationship with the plumber because he fixed me pipe. And I paid him. It's on me now. I've been plotting. How do I get in touch with him? I'm going to break a pipe. I'm going to break a pipe carefully. No, that's on me. That's my responsibility now, because I was given an opportunity and I didn't do it. It's okay for me to say it here, but are there situations when you can turn it on yourself? That's not for me to do, that's for God to do with you. Missed opportunity. Plonker. God would say, I'm sure. So important that the relationship we have with our Father God goes beyond here. What's brilliant about our work, or Kev's work in the schools, there are teachers in the schools who look forward to Kev's assemblies because they hear something important. So important that what we have here, this relationship with God becomes a relationship with somebody else, so they have a relationship with God. And I've got to commit to do something about my plumber. Who is it? Who have you missed? There's quite a good chance that a lot of people here will have missed an opportunity. Might have been this week, might have been years ago. And I think that's probably the challenge for us today. To put God first. And in putting God first, we are allowing him to tell us what to do. We are allowing ourselves and making ourselves act for God. And if we don't, we don't drag you up at the front to confess in front of everybody. But God knows. He loves you. And he wants you to share him when you are given the opportunity. Thanks, Will. I'm going to close with some words from Denzel Washington. You can find this clip online. It's superb. There's a whole speech. But it's a testimony. We need to put God first because the benefits to us are amazing. But more than that, we can bring an amazing benefit to others. And then we'll worship. Thanks.
Number one, put God first. Put God first in everything you do. Everything that you think you see in me, everything that I've accomplished, everything that you think I have, and I have a few things. Everything that I have is by the grace of God. Understand that. It's a gift. 40 years ago, March 27th, 1975, it was 40 years ago, just this past March, I was flunking out of college. I had a 1.7 grade point average. I hope none of you can relate. I had a 1.7 grade point average. I was sitting in my mother's beauty shop. They still call it beauty shop now? What they call it now? Yeah, I was sitting in the beauty parlor. I was sitting in my mother's beauty parlor. And I'm looking in the mirror, and I see behind me this woman under the dryer. And every time she looked up, every time I looked up, she was looking at me, just looking me in the eye. And I didn't know who she was, and I said, you know, she said, somebody give me a pen, give me a pencil, I have a prophecy. March 27, 1975, she said, boy, you are gonna travel the world and speak to millions of people. Now mind you, I was flunked out of college. I'm thinking about joining the army. I didn't know what I was going to do. And she's telling me I'm going to travel the world and speak to millions of people. Well, I have traveled the world. And I have spoke to millions of people. But that's not the most important thing, the success that I had. The most important thing is that what she taught me and what she told me that day has stayed with me since. I've been protected. I've been directed. I've been corrected. I've kept God in my life and has kept me humble. I didn't always stick with him, but he always stuck with me. So stick with him in everything you do. If you think you want to do what you think I've done, then do what I've done and stick with God. Number two.
You'll speak to millions. I bet that video clip and that testimony has spoken to millions about being protected, directed, and corrected because he's in a relationship with God. And so are we. And our relationship with God is what connects the next person's relationship with God.